What's up, Sammy?
Yo!
How are you, my man?
I'm good. It's been a while. You got to come back to Toronto so we can hang out again.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know.
Yo, I'm Sammy, beaming down with the Bridge Crew in a bright red shirt that brings out the color of my eyes. Yunnan. Oh, those red shirt guys. Oh, so much pain. William Shatner, attempting to explain seeing Earth from space, trying to convey how big and how fragile this planet, our planet, truly is known as the overview effect. The overview effect is, well, I'm going to quote a definition of the overview effect. The overview effect is a cognitive shift in awareness reported by some astronauts during spaceflight, often while viewing the Earth from outer space. End quote. Perspective changes everything. You know this if you've gone to the top of the Space Needle or CN Tower, Empire State Building. Perspective changes everything. On October 13, 2021, after landing back on Earth following his Blue Origin suborbital spaceflight, William Shatner reflected on the experience and told ABC News, "I hope I never recover from this." Yo, Star Trek is closing in on 60 years, and we've never truly recovered from meeting Captain Kirk and his weird crew in 1966. A 5-year mission has turned into decades of mapping the stars and seeking delight in this strange and vast universe. Shatner appeared in 2 episodes of The Twilight Zone, Nick of Time in 1960, and Nightmare at 20,000 Feet in 1963. That episode, that is one of my favorite all-time Twilight Zone episodes. Yes, The Creature on the Wing. Shatner playing a man trying to recover from a nervous breakdown. William Shatner has been with us forever. He's like the sun and the moon. There's never been a time when he wasn't around. When he wasn't there. He's always been there. T.J. Hooker and Boston Legal, TV commercials, he's always been around. But sadly for not much longer, he is 93. This Legion M documentary, You Can Call Me Bill, isn't a documentary, it's a memorial. It gives you the opportunity to say thank you for all the adventures, to toast the fun, and remember the laughs. Airplane 2 is magic. You Can Call Me Bill is directed by Alexander Philippe, who has directed Nerdy Docs on the Xenomorph. That one's called Memory, The Origins of Alien. Super creepy, but cool doc. And 7852 on Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho Shower Scene. Yep, just the Psycho Shower Scene, not the entire movie. Alex sat down with William Shatner to talk about his life and love and being curious. This isn't a Star Trek documentary. It's about hope and delight and being creative and doing good work.
Go boldly. Go with courage. Go with commitment. That's what it means. And then boldly go into the next adventure. That's the story of my life. It's the search for love, symmetry, and passion. That curiosity is what keeps us alive.
You Can Call Me Bill is the true story about a kid who grew up in Montreal and ended up in space. Perspective changes everything. Here's my conversation with Alex, sharing his perspective on making William Shatner, You Can Call Me Bill. Stephanie?
Sound, the final frontier. My summer lair is an enterprise, a pop culture voyage with a continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new creators and celebrate established producers, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. And now here is your host, Sammy Yunnan.
How did the premiere go last night?
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing. I mean, it was, you know, full house at the Lincoln Center, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I mean, It's totally surreal. Yeah.
Was anybody disappointed there wasn't enough Airplane 2, the sequel, in the documentary?
Probably.
That movie's magic, so.
Yeah, no, it's so good.
Like, I'll get into it. In You Can Call Me Bill, William Shatner, he has a great line. He says, "Everything, by the way, is an adventure. My talking to you should be an adventure for you and for me." And then he goes on, of course, to talk about the risks an actor takes choosing his material. So how did you pitch this to William Shatner? How did you pitch this adventure to him?
You know, it was through Legion M. You know, I'd worked with them, I think, as you know, because I'm pretty sure I came to Toronto for Memory, The Origins of Alien, mm-hmm. back in 2019. And they had picked up the film at Sundance for North America at the time. And so I've had a great relationship with them. I mean, it's a fan-owned company. You know, Shatner had become their new spokesperson a couple of years ago. And so I just literally picked up the phone, just kind of a very casual catch-up conversation, and said, you know, has there ever been a documentary made about William Shatner? And David Baxter, who was one of the execs there, said, you know, he's been, you know, he's had many documentary filmmakers approach him over the years, and he's always said no, but we can try, you know. So they pushed and they pushed, and then eventually Shatner said, you know, yes to meeting me, you know, yes to a lunch. And I was fully prepared to sort of, you know, pitch him the idea, you know, the way that I wanted to approach this film, which is a thematic chapter approach. But what struck me was that he didn't want to hear it. He was just really curious. Talk about an adventure, right? It's like the adventure of a conversation, of getting to know someone. He wanted to know what I was about. You know, what do I believe in? You know, we talked about life and death and the universe, and it got really sort of cosmic and mm-hmm. existential. And then by the end, really by the end of lunch, it was, you know, he said, when do we start? And that was that.
And I like it because at the end of the documentary, you mentioned like Legion M is fan owned, and there's a line where you include at the end of the credits, one of the very last lines, and it's William Shatner, and he wrote, "Fans have been responsible for my career. It only seems right they should own this film."
Yeah,
it kind of connects to what you're saying. And so for you though, like he's all curious about you, like you said, he wants to know about you, and he wants to talk about life and death and whatever. William mm-hmm. Shatner's been with us for decades. Like, so everyone has a William Shatner like connotation. How did your connotation or impression of William Shatner change from before you began the documentary to after the documentary was done?
Yeah, I think what was remarkable was that, well, certainly, one, I would say we connected on a personal level, you know, but two, I think clearly it felt like the right time for him to do this. Mm-hmm. And he was ready to take off the masks and get really personal and share really, you know, deep, personal, and sometimes really dark stories, you know, as well. So, you know, the idea that there was no taboo subject, so to speak, was, I think, really, really powerful. And I've gotten to have a lot of affection for him. I have obviously a lot of admiration, a lot of respect, certainly for what he's done, but really as a human, for what he stands for what he believes in. I think his message is more urgent than ever, mm-hmm. and not just about the planet and the environment, but about, you know, what it's like to live a meaningful life, you know, and what you know, the fact that we should care for each other. You know, we're here for a very short amount of time on this planet, and instead of all this ridiculous polarization and vitriol, just we have to be reminded that we are all human beings, and what a miracle it is, really, to be a part of this life. So, you know, I think his philosophy sadly runs contrary to what we're being fed day in, day out in the media. And I'm really hoping that these are messages that are going to resonate, because they come from, you know, our collective grandfather here. You know, he's a grandfather figure for all of us.
Yeah, he seems to be at peace with everything. I mean, he's 93 now, so there's nothing really he could have done different. Like, you know what I mean? It's the record is done, right? But
it is. He is. I mean, as he says though, he doesn't want to go. You know, he's having too good of a time. You know, and. And I think that's the one thing, you know, it's like, as he says, you know, what is there to boldly go into, you know, when you're 93, well, you're going to boldly go into your, your death and whatever that means, you know, whether it's oblivion, whether there's something after that, and you know, none of us know. And I think that's the thing, you know.
So you've done a documentary on the xenomorph, the alien memory. Yeah. You did a documentary recently on William Friedkin, like Leap of Faith, yep. Like, and now a documentary on William Shatner. Legacy and impact runs through all of these documentaries. These are huge cultural, like, stones that got thrown into our collective ocean. Like, so what have you learned about legacy and, like, what lasts in terms of working on all these projects?
You know, I mean, it's really interesting because I think it's always different. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure you and I have had this conversation before about, you know, the shower scene in Psycho and the chestburster scene in Alien. What's fascinating to me is that they're very similar scenes. People reacted in very outwardly similar ways, but yet the reasons, the deep-rooted reasons why they resonated with culture are, I would argue, completely different. You know, so I think, and I think that's the thing, is there's no secret sauce, right? Whether a movie or a quote-unquote icon is going to resonate with culture, I don't think we can sort of put our finger on it and say, well, this is the secret sauce. This is why. I think every single case is unique and different, in fact, right? I mean, Star Trek did not immediately resonate, right? The show was canceled after three seasons, and it took a while for it to sort of gain this kind of momentum. So, you know, I think obviously in my body of work, in the films that we make at Exhibited Pictures, I'm very interested in delving into icons and iconic screen moments and trying to understand how and why they resonate and why they're so meaningful to, you know, why they've transcended really the medium of cinema to become pop culture or cultural events. And I don't know that I will ever get to the bottom of that. You know, there's always a lot of mystery around that. And I think that's a beautiful thing, but I think we can certainly point to certain aspects of it. And I think, I mean, Shatner is a unique sort of beast, you know. I mean, the fact that he has, you know, he started acting when he was six. So we're talking about an 87-year acting career, which is just utterly mind-blowing. And so, of course, he has reached us, probably each and every one of us, in some way, shape, or form at some point. I mean, we all know who he is, you know. So that's there's no way around that. And I think that's a really powerful thing.
What you're talking about is like the emotional response to horror movies, right? Like the emotional response to Scream is completely different than it is to Alien and to different other horror movies, right? Like Chopping Mall, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, you know?
Sure.
And so, like you said, they're all horror movies, but there's no necessarily secret sauce or something like a template. Like you can kind of like, these are the ingredients you need for a horror movie, you know? But we all have
an
emotional response to them.
Yeah, but certain films have an ability to tap into the zeitgeist in much more powerful ways. I mean, funny that you should mention Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because that's what I'm working on right now. I'm working on the 50th anniversary film about Texas Chainsaw, and it's going to be, as you know, a very different take on Texas Chainsaw, because you know, my films are not conventional in that way. But again, there are very, very few films, horror or otherwise, that are, you know, tap into the zeitgeist in the way that a Texas Chainsaw does, in the way that a Psycho does, or The Shining, or, you know, The Exorcist. These are very, very few and far between.
So I mentioned Airplane 2. When you were looking at William Shatner's body of work, like from Star Trek to Twilight Zone to Boston Legal, T.J. Hooker, like, were there certain scenes or like certain moments from TV shows or some of his work that you want to make sure that you included because they would bring you delight? They made you smile in the editing room? Like, what?
No. No, that's not how I work. What was essential to this particular project, I mean, because it is, obviously, it's a thematic approach. It's a distillation of Bill as a person, right? And sort of the themes that are most important to him at this point, right? At this point in time, after almost 93 years now on this planet, the things he wants to talk about. And so in selecting the clips, I wanted to find essentially moments where his characters would act as avatars for Bill, the person himself. So essentially the sort of mirror effect between, you know, Bill, the person, and Bill, the man of a thousand faces. So that they're to create essentially a little bit of a dialogue between his characters and his person.
As we're wrapping up, you're a nerd. I don't say that like as a mean thing, like it's just just as a fact, a Wikipedia fact.
Yep,
right?
It is a fact.
Yeah. I know, like when Stan Lee, for example, died, there was a lot of outpouring and just a lot of gratitude, obviously, for all that he created or co-created with the Marvel universe. And like, sure. Do you feel like with William Shatner now, like having made this documentary, do you feel this is an opportunity for you to say like thank you as well, just for that work and for all that he did? Like, do you feel like you've said your piece as well, as much as William Shatner has to say his piece at 93 and then looking back at his career, do you feel that you've said your piece, just kind of like, thank you, man, that was a good run?
Oh, I mean, of course. I mean, it's and look, and the run's not over. I mean, I again, like I spent the day with him yesterday, and you know, he is as sharp and funny, you know, as I've ever seen him. I mean, he's a force of nature, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, of course, it's a thank you. Of course, it's a blessing. You know, I often think about, you know, this incredible opportunity that I've had to have, you know, Bill Shatner, you know, giving me the opportunity, you know, along with Legion M and Exhibited Pictures, you know, to tell his story in a very personal way. And same with William Friedkin, you know, and The Exorcist, and how much I miss, you know, William Friedkin now, who passed away about, you know, 9 months ago now. And I mean, he was very much a mentor to me, you know, but I know that Leap of Faith is a legacy piece, and I know that from the words that William Friedkin has, you know, has written to me about how much this film means to him, and I know how much this film means to Shatner. I know that he sees it and views it as a big part of his legacy, as sort of the final word, mm-hmm. you know, so to speak. And you know, the reaction from people is unmistakable. I mean, people really connect with the film, and as you know, as many people have said, it's a very surprising way. And they surprising take on the man. You know, they think it's going to be a regular sort of bio doc, mm-hmm. But it's a very different approach. And I think I'm really hoping that this film will stick around for a long, long time. You know,
yeah, I know somebody who tweeted out yesterday at the New York City premiere, like that this is the second time they saw it. You know, and so
oh wow,
nice. I think that's always a good sign, especially for a documentary, right? People don't always sometimes sure. Go to documentaries twice. And so, like, you know,
sadly, yes.
And so that's a good thumbs up that you and the team, you guys did a great job, right? When people are going back twice.
I'm hoping. Yeah. 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 Hopefully a lot of people will go at least once, you know?
All right. Our time is up, Alex. Thanks again for like hanging out.
Hey man, anytime.
But do come to Toronto so we can hang out more and
yes.
get to some adventures. And good luck with Texas Chainsaw. That should be a lot of fun.
Thank you.
So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll keep you posted on that one and then hope to see you again. And best of luck with everything as always.
Yo. That was Alex, director of William Shatner, You Can Call Me Bill, and I'm Sammy, host of My Summer Lair. Pop culture is fascinating in that you don't really retire. It's not like being an accountant or a lawyer or even a teacher. In those common professions, people retire. You get the gold watch, right? In the uncommon job of crafting pop culture, you just die. The social contract is we the fans, the public, we give you this incredible life loaded with wealth and filled with opportunities. We support your work and we only ask for adventures in return. Let us boldly go together. Every pop culture career is a road trip. You can argue about the journey versus the destination, but the creators take us to the most unique places. It's amazing. So, I can't do a William Shatner impression. However, my favorite William Shatner quote from Star Trek is from Return to Tomorrow. It's everybody's favorite quote. Risk. Risk is our business. That's what this starship is all about. That's why we're aboard her. Risk. Risk is our business neatly sums up an acting career. And a life where you fall in love and you grow and you deal with unresolved hurt and you celebrate surprise. Risk. Risk is our business as humans, as individuals. Every single day you get to choose the life you want to live. Every single day you get to become the person you want to be. What an astonishing invitation. And such a heavy, heavy responsibility. Because you're not always going to make good choices or even the correct choice. In William Shatner, You Can Call Me Bill, there's a powerful, powerful moment. Shatner's talking about the death of Kirk in Star Trek Generations, a 1994 sci-fi movie. William Shatner says, and again, I can't do an impression, so I apologize, but William Shatner says, and I quote, "There was a close-up of me as Kirk dies. I wanted Kirk to die the way he lived, with courage. Because I always played Kirk with curiosity. I wanted that to be his death, and I'd wish I had another take at it." End quote. And I wish I had another take at it. This is a 93-year-old actor reflecting on his on-screen death and wishing for one more take. Knowing that in life you don't get a second take. Second chances, yes, absolutely. But there are no second takes. Like, yo, this isn't a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is the life that you get. This is all you get. We have to keep talking about this. I'm trying and failing to convey all these dense emotions about William Shatner and Star Trek and space is the place and science fiction, and I'm struggling. I write My Pal Sammy a weekly newsletter, and it's all about pop culture and space and science fiction and more. Please sign up, just at least so we can continue this discussion. I want to know what you thought about the documentary William Shatner, You Can Call Me Bill, and I want to hear your Star Trek feelings. I mean, do you think space tourism is ever going to be a real thing? You can Google My Pal Sammy Substack or go to mysummerlayer.com/subscribe. My Pal Sammy Substack and Google or mysummerlayer.com/subscribe. Thank you, by the way, to the recent subscribers. I hope you're enjoying the party. Thank you so much for listening to me in a Netflix world. Shatner, yo.